Now on to our bloggers roundtable. With us, we've got media consultant Carmen Dixon. She writes the blog All About Race and also blogs for AOL Black Voices. Rob Redding, who maintains the blog Redding News Review, and Ali Akbar, president of Republic Modern Media and a contributing blogger at Hip Hop Republican. Hi, guys.
Hi, Farai.
Hi.
So this White House race is kind of rough, but not just between the presidential contenders. It's also between the press and the contenders themselves. So this weekend, the New York Times ran a story detailing trials in the McCain marriage. It reported on Cindy McCain's struggle with prescription drug addiction, her difficulty fitting in with Washington wives. Carmen, is this the kind of story that the Times should be running, or is it much more gossipy?
All information, I think, is relevant, especially when the right wants to talk about family values and talk about identity. If you're going to talk about identity, then let's talk about everyone's identity.
So there's also another issue. Time magazine columnist Joe Klein was banned from the McCain-Palin campaign planes. He's been a critic of the campaign, and in addition to reported pieces, he also writes opinion columns, and he also goes on TV and is an analyst. A campaign spokesperson for McCain said about Joe Klein, "We don't allow Daily Coast diarists on boards either," meaning the hugely popular liberal blog network. Rob, is it fair to take someone, a huge award-winning figure like Joe Klein, and say, you're not welcome?
No, of course not. I mean, well, you know, if the policy is that we don't allow blog, quote-unquote, I guess, or diarist or whatever, then that's the policy, or whatever the policy we want to put in place. We don't allow red, yellow, or blue people. But, look, you know, I think that the report is above board. Everything was done correctly by the Times. This is the kind of thing we want to know, as has already been discussed. We want to know about folks that claim to be great at family values, and we want to know as much about Michelle as well.
Ali, do you think it's a situation where part of this is about the blurring of roles? I mean, Joe Klein has been, you know, the man on the back of the bus and really been a reporter out in the field. He has done TV analysis. Sometimes he gets to run those cute little people meters. I mean, he really gets to do just about anything. And of course, he's the author of Primary Colors, which then became a film. And he wrote it under the title Anonymous. And everyone spent months trying to figure out who Anonymous was. So he's a very multi-talented man.
Right.
But is he someone who a campaign has to keep on, or are there distinctions where only kind of the beat reporters and the pool reporters have to be on the plane?
You know, with the economy the way it is, I feel like this is such a non-issue, but I think that the campaign has to have the discretionary right to choose who's on the plane and who's not. And if they choose to only have reporters who actually report and members of the press who are going to give the facts to the people later to be deciphered by op-ed writers like Joe, then, you know, I think that that's what's fair. I don't think that anybody is entitled to be on the plane with the candidate because he has, you know, so many awards on his bookcases.
All right, moving on. Sarah Palin, there's a lot out there, and here are some of the comments made about the governor by Jon Stewart, Bill Maher, and Keith Olbermann.
You know, that's just my way of saying I think that's a profanity to say, and I was answering with a profanity, but it's not really fair, and it makes it seem like I'm just addressing Governor Palin about this, and I'm not. It's really this whole entire theme that there's more American areas, or some people love the country, some people don't. So I guess what I meant to say was, all y'all.
This is the third time in 20 years, mm-hmm. Bush, yeah. Quayle, and now Palin, they have nominated a complete bimbo, which is a man or a woman.
Wow.
Besides which, Governor, exactly how on earth could you not have the correct answer by now? It's not like this is the first time you've been asked about the vice presidency and gone all Miss South Carolina on us.
Carmen, last reference to a beauty queen who just couldn't pull it together. People have called Sarah Palin a lot of names. And when Senator Hillary Clinton was getting called out of name, there was a lot of fuss, particularly about whether or not it was sexist. Where's the outrage now?
I think there is some outrage if you turn on Fox or listen to Hannity's radio show or check on the right-leaning blog. So I think there is some outrage from the feminist community. This is the same community that went back and forth and supported Palin initially, although her policies were completely opposite of Hillary Clinton's because of gender and because they were so angry at Barack Obama. So I don't think you can count on a sort of let's see, a concrete feminist outrage to pop up anytime there's an insult made. There are different factions within women, within women's ideology, I guess I should say, just like there is within anybody else. Women on the right are going to call out sexism. Some of us women on the left think some of these criticisms are absolutely valid, particularly something perhaps kind of witty, like the South Carolina comment.
But then you hear the word bimbo and you hear the F word, or rather you don't hear the F word because we don't use it on NPR. Ali, is that crossing a line?
It's definitely crossing a line. I was about to jump in. This isn't an issue of feminism or whether or not you're a woman. I'm a biracial male. I'm half Arab and I'm half African American, and this was offensive to me as an American. I don't think that a journalist like Keith Olbermann should be using rhetoric like this. And I think what Bill Maher said, you know, calling her bimbo, moronic, even saying that, you know, John McCain had to put a folder in front of his crotch because, you know, the surge is working or whatnot. You know, I think it's entirely inappropriate. And after the whole Hillary incident, there was a lot of us on the right who said, you know what, maybe there were some inappropriate comments made. And I wouldn't argue that it's just the right and it's the moderate. You see a lot of Clinton voters, ClintonForMcCain.com is a perfect example, who is calling out this stuff and recalling out this stuff as sexist. And it's a shame that it's happening all over again, back to back.
I would disagree with you that there's a lot. Sure, there's a website, but I think the poll numbers are showing that those women are drifting toward Obama.
Rob,
but that has nothing to do. That has nothing to do with whether or not the comments made are sexist or not.
It has to do if they perceive them as sexist, and that to be a determinative issue in their vote.
Rob, let me throw Rob another curveball. What about class? It's something we don't talk about a lot, but there certainly has been an implicit deconstruction of class when you talk about Joe Sixpack, which is a phrase that Governor Palin has used. Has there then been a backlash against her because she's not a Cindy McCain? She's not rolling with millions of dollars, private plane, you know, necessarily the couture outfits. Do you think some people view her as also not quite classy enough for the White House?
I think that's definitely the case. There's an underlying tone of that. I can't believe I actually on the radio defending Sarah Palin, who I believe is an affirmative action pick. But I think the rhetoric is a little high in this ad and in what we've seen so far. And I think that they don't have to go there. I think she's just not qualified to be vice president. And I think that class is definitely an issue. I mean, anytime you talk about someone who's skinning and I don't know what to even call it, dressing animals, I guess, in the field and all of that, that kind of doesn't really equate to most average American women, especially.
We might have to go there if the economy keeps going that direction. We
might have to.
Go back to squirrel stew, but, you know.
Watch out.
Anyway, moving right along with yet more campaign news. This weekend at a McCain rally in Virginia, a group of Muslim Republicans and a McCain worker confronted a man passing out Obama paraphernalia that insinuated Obama was a Muslim. Ali, what do you think the effect will be, if any, on the McCain campaign of a supporter, not a worker, but a supporter doing this?
Let's be honest. A McCain staffer, McCain campaigner, someone who's affiliated with the McCain, called it out and said that this was inappropriate, and that's the same thing I'm going to do. There are fringes of our party and fringes of the right that make inappropriate comments. Obama is not a Muslim. You know, some contend that he's never been a Muslim, and that's, you know, neither here nor there. And it does make us look a little, it's a big turnoff, and the polls reflect as such. So, you know, I'm going to call it what it is. It was inappropriate. It was hate. It was bigotry at its worst. But it's not something that reflects McCain himself or the campaign as a whole.
Carmen, you also heard General Colin Powell making a point of saying, so what if he was a Muslim? You know, why does he always have to defend himself against being a Muslim? Where are we now, years after the 9/11 attacks, in the middle of two wars, in terms not just of the plurality issue as it comes to race, but when it comes to religion? Have we moved forward or backwards?
I would say I believe we're in a holding pattern overall. I think right now, the good news for Obama and the bad news for McCain, we are so concerned with the economic picture. We are so concerned by the fact that we are fighting two wars right now. That has a different, the idea of whether Barack Obama is a scary, and I'm using scare quotes here, is a scary Muslim, has less impact than it might have in bountiful times, particularly in swaying an independent moderate view, a moderate moderate voter. But if you are on the web as much as I am and read everything coming from all directions, there is, I would say, it's more than a fringe on the right of center that
Not
has
true.
Grave concerns
Not
about
true.
A person's religion and what it would mean to have a Muslim commander-in-chief and what his alliances would be because of his religion, his particular belief in God.
We have, you know, just one member of Congress who is Muslim, and he happens to be also African-American, black American, born and converted. And he has come out with a statement, Keith Ellison, praising General Powell's remarks about who is an American. It strikes me, Rob, that on November 5th, this country will still have Muslims, Christians, atheists, Hindus, Jews, any number of other religions that probably some of which I haven't even heard about.
Atheists.
Yeah, you know, and so these things that we're discussing are not going to stop when the election stops. So is there going to be a will to have a discussion maybe once politics is off the table per se and just really have a national, you know, meeting of the minds on what constitutes being an American?
It depends on if Barack Obama wants it. I'm not sure he does.
Assuming Barack Obama has won.
Exactly. Well, I assume that Barack Obama at this point is going to win the election. And sort of a startling revelation where they can actually prove that he actually is a Muslim, which would be a problem for some people, which I'm not thinking is a problem at all. I agree with Powell. I've been taking that tact forever, saying that, so what if he is a Muslim? And I think that's highly offensive, that otherdom, that whole otherdom is so offensive. But back to the point of your question, there needs to be a dialogue. I'm not sure if there will be one. There definitely won't be one if John McCain's elected.
One thing that has come up, Carmen, is whether or not, and we've discussed this before, but I think it's good to take the temperature, whether or not there's a cult of Obama that is totally counterproductive, that people are just invested in, okay, I'm going to get the T-shirt, I'm going to, you know, go and talk about this all the time, but maybe not get deeper on the issues. What's your weigh in on how the cult of Obama is doing these days?
The good news is I think the cult of Obama is being swamped by those of us who are thinking and have made a reasoned decision. But does the cult of Obama exist? Absolutely. And perhaps even more fervently than the cult of McCain, Palin, which exists as well. But my concern is actually, and I don't know if we're really going to get into this, but I have heard some incidents of people doing hateful things who believe Obama's going to win and sort of exerting their muscle. Like, who do you think you are? You wait till Obama gets in. Some really crazy stuff like that.
Wait till my brother gets home.
Let me jump
Please.
In here. I noticed that she actually dodged the question and turned it into a cult of McCain, which, you know, I don't think that anybody on the far left would even say exists. But you're seeing that these Obama people, you know, what does Obama inspire these people to do? To raid motorcades, to shoot at McCain's bus, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, the litany goes on.
I don't think you heard my answer correctly. I mentioned that there was indeed an Obama cult and that there is a McCain cult, and I would disagree with you that those on the right don't acknowledge it and, in fact, are trying to distance themselves from it, most people on the right anyway.
Oh.
I don't want to confuse lust for a cult. Just because you want to sleep with Sarah Palin doesn't mean that there's actually
exactly.
a cult for her.
That makes you American.
Yeah, your lust is my cult. There it is.
Oh, my goodness. We're going off on a tangent, and so I'm going to rein it in and say thank you so much for this week.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We've been speaking with Rob Redding, who maintains the blog Redding News Review, Ali Akbar, president of the political online development company Republic Modern Media. He's also a contributing blogger at Hip Hop Republican, and media consultant Carmen Dixon. She writes the blog All About Race and also blogs for AOL Black Voices. She was with me at our NPR West studios. You can find links to their blogs and ours at nprnewsandnotes.org. And the conversation doesn't stop here. Our online series, Speak Your Mind, gives you a chance to sound off on the issues you care about. To find out how, go to our blog, nprnewsandviews.org, and click on Speak Your Mind.